Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. As a Christian, have you ever wondered why you are where you are in life? Living in a particular neighborhood or working at a particular job? It should be no mystery. God has called us to be His emissaries to those with whom we live and work. As Pastor Ray Viola concludes his study of Joshua chapter 21, he uses the example of the Levites, whom God placed in 48 special cities scattered throughout the Promised Land, to show us that He wants everyone to have ready access to His eternal truths.
The Levites were in charge of maintaining the tabernacle, all of the cords and all of the curtains and all of the coverings. Remember, there was the spoons and the snuff dishes. You say, what, pray tell, is a snuff dish? That doesn't mean anything to me, but it meant everything to God. You know what that tells us? God is concerned about little things. Little things. Aren't you glad? Little, teeny, weensy things in the tabernacle. God was concerned with. They had the responsibility for all of the sacred furniture of the tabernacle, all the vessels for worship and sacrifice, all the poles and the boards and the bars that held the tent together. The Levites had the responsibility for that. We also remember that when the nation crossed the Jordan River, it was the Levites who stood all day in the bed of the Jordan River and held the Ark of the Covenant high. But now they're in the Promised Land. You see, the tabernacle wasn't going to be moving anymore. It was going to be settled, we know, first in Shiloh and then later in Jerusalem. And they were the ones who were called to serve in the temple. And the temple was what? That place of unified corporate worship in the life of the nation. And the Levites were the ones that would assist in all of the great annual feasts and festivals, the high holy days for the nation. The Levites were the ones that would lead musical worship in great choirs and orchestras and all. And they became composers of psalms and hymns of praise for the nation. Isn't it interesting that those who kept themselves closest to the place of God's presence were the ones who were found worshiping the most? Isn't it interesting? You know, one of the gazillion things I love about my wife is that I don't need to play worship CDs in the house. She just sings all the time. And I'm glad it's her, not me. She's vacuuming and she's singing. Now, not 24 hours. You know, we're a regular family like you and we have things that go on, but she's always singing. She's vacuuming and singing. She's doing the laundry and singing. She's making a grocery list and singing. She's looking through the Sunday ads, deals at the malls, and she's singing. That's when I really get worried. But isn't it true that when we purpose in our heart to draw near to the Lord, and it's not that He's that far away, in Him we live and move and have our being, it stirs you up to what? To sing, to worship, to thank Him, to acknowledge Him. And the Levites were such a people. They would be a part of the sacrificial system because there was this problem called sin. And the Levites were the ones who were to assist the high priest and all of those in dealing with the life of the sin in the nation. But we find here, as you read those verses, I'm sure you're going to go right home tonight and read Joshua chapter 21, verse 4 through 42. How many of you are going to do it? Be honest now, you're in church. You scoundrels. But at least you're honest. It will help you with your pronunciation. And you'll know why when you read those verses, why I didn't. I said, let's just you read them. You know, I have feelings too. I stand up here and I mispronounce a word. You go, great. But what you see here, and you're going to see, you will see. As you read the verse or the chapters, that God didn't intend them, or He did intend them, to live in various cities scattered throughout the nation. He didn't want them concentrated around Shiloh or Jerusalem. Why? Why did he have these 48 cities, and within these 48 cities, six particular cities of refuge? Because the Levites, listen to this, the Levites were ordained by God to be a model of what it means to worship the Lord and serve the Lord. Wait a minute. Why does God have you living where you live? Going to school where you go to school? Working where you work? Why? Take a guess. Because of the wonderful benefit programs? No, he may have that, praise God. He's got you where he's got you because you and I are called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to be an example of what a Christian is like and how a Christian worships God. Doing the regular things from 8 to 5, or for some of you, from 8 to 8. You know, whatever. That's why you're there. Amen? To be an example of what it means to be a servant and a worshiper of the living God. There were to be examples. Another ministry of the Levites was found in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 10, where they are to teach Jacob the judgments and Israel the law. They should put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. In other words, the Levites were also called to be nurturers. They were not only called to have an influence upon others, they were called to nurture others. You know, some people are just natural born gifted nurturers. You know, people like that, they're just nurturers. It's usually, no offense guys, it's usually the moms. It's usually the moms and the grandmothers. You know, my grannies, all when they're at the house, they go, "Mama, Mama," they walk right by me, all seven, just like the seven dwarfs. "Mama, I'm hungry. Mama, I'm thirsty. Mama, I want an ice cream sandwich." I'm standing there like, I could very well be the invisible man. The only thing they do with me is jump on me. The boys jump on me and start pounding me and tell me when they have poopy diapers. And so these Levites were not only to be those who were influential, they were to be those who nurtured. They were to be teachers. They were to be counselors. They were to minister the word of God wherever they were. The 48 Levitical cities became kind of like Bible study centers throughout the land, where they would teach others about God's covenant relationship with his people. They were places where individuals like Rahab and her family, converts who needed understanding of the true and living God, they could come, they could be initiated with the foundational doctrines of the knowledge of God and his plan and purpose for us. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 9 says, "They taught in Judah and had the book of the Lord, book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people." Why was that so important? Well, because they didn't have CBD. They didn't have local bookstores. The common people usually didn't have copies of the scriptures available to them. And so it was important that the Levites be able to explain the scriptures to the people and identify with them, because they were the ones who would have the copies of the scriptures. And these Levitical cities were scattered throughout the nation, and they were located in such a way that nobody would ever be that far away from a place where they could have the scriptures made available to them. Well, we've got it made, don't we? How many Bibles do you have? I've probably got every version but the Italian version. And God wanted the Word of God to be easily accessible to everybody. He didn't mean that the Levites were to be the elite. They were to be the ones who would instruct them. And you know what? When they instructed the common people, they spoke to them in the common language. They didn't bog them down with these big million-dollar theological terms to impress them. What did he just say? I mean, in some of the books that I have, and I'm so thankful for my library, I read a paragraph. And these guys, well, I mean, they're just in another place. I mean, they're just, and I'll read a paragraph, and there's words like this. I've got to have a Webster's dictionary, and then a dictionary to interpret Webster to know what this guy just said. And the Levites were the ones who would simply teach the word of God simply. You know why? Because it is simple. It's profound. There's depth to it, but it's so simple that a child can connect the dots. They didn't walk around and go, what did he just say? What was that big word he just said? And God wanted his people, he's always wanted his people, to have the word of God available to them and accessible to them. And granted, he raised up these Levites who had the gift of explaining to them the word of God. Not that the people would say, oh, Levite. No. But that the people would say, oh, what a great God we have. The purpose of the Levites were to get the people of Israel addicted to their God, connected to their God. They didn't want to give them the impression, well, we've got a closer contact to God than you do, and you better come to us, and then we'll go to God for you. That's pagan religion. That's not Bible faith. And you know why he scattered them where he did? When you look at a map, after you read verses 4 through 42 tonight, and you look at a map, which only four of you are going to do, if you look at a map of Canaan and note that the cities, these 48 cities, they kind of formed an oval around the center of the nation. The places where these cities were, they were inhabited by the Philistines on the Mediterranean seacoast, the Sidonians in the north by Tyre and Sidon, the Amalekites and the Midianites in the desert. And so God chose not to cluster the cities of the Levites in the center. Listen, he didn't choose to cluster them in the center where it was safe and secure. He placed them out on the frontiers where they could be a witness. And the geography suggests that these cities were to be cities of witness. They were to be cities that were constantly reminding the unbelieving nations all around Israel about the God who had saved their nation out of bondage in Egypt, about the God who had sustained them in the wilderness, about the God who had brought them into the land and led them in the conquest of the land that he gave them. God planted each one of these cities in a place where they could be a witness to the lost. How does all of that apply to you and me tonight? Well, let's see if we can find some application for our local church. A, we are to be a place of worship, aren't we? Jesus said the Father is looking for people who will worship him how? By religion and ritual, in spirit and in truth. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day, that is the day of the Lord coming back for his bride, the church approaching. Guys, something unique happens when we all gather together as people of God, praising God, worshiping God, praying together, and being challenged through the scriptures. Something wonderful happens when we come with a heart that realizes that and acknowledges that. In other words, and I've done it, you can just come to church and you leave drier than when you came in. But if you come with a purpose to worship, to pray, to hear, to minister, and you come with that purpose to give and not just receive, to serve and not just be served, you're going to walk away blessed every single time. What a tremendous privilege it was for a Levite to be a part of what God was doing. And it is a privilege for anybody, any believer, to be a part of the local church. A real part, an active part of the local church. You see, because God has ordained the church to be a means whereby we grow. We grow closer to him. We grow closer to one another. Why? Every time we get together, it's Christmas time. Because God's given you gifts, and God's given me gifts, and we get to unwrap that gift and unpack that gift and use that gift every single time. Don't leave your gift out in the car. Don't leave your prayer life out in the car. Don't sit there and think, well, I can't do anything in this church. There's so many people serving. I don't need. Get off the sidelines and get in the game. Find something, because God's got something for you to do, something significant for you to do. You see, every single piece of the tabernacle, even those little snuff dishes, meant something. You see, I don't have much to give. Well, give the much you do have. All we have is five little loaves and a couple of sardines. What does that mean? A whole lot to the master, right? I just have a little bit of time. Invest it. I just have a little bit of money. Invest it. Invest it. Don't just, well, what am I going to do with it? Do something with it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And then you become a spectator. There's nothing more boring than being a spectator in the body of Christ. I'm watching everybody else sing. I'm watching everybody else. Oh, aren't you glad that every part of your body functions? Just think if you cut off your thumb. Ow, yeah, ow. If I cut off my thumb and I placed it here and then next Wednesday took it out of a plastic bag and showed it to you, it would stink. It would look rotten because too many people in the body of Christ, and don't take this the wrong way because you're the Wednesday night group. They're only Sunday morning believers. They amputate. They never communicate. It's all give, give, give. You know, like the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the horse leech says, give, 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 give. You become dry as a bone because you only grow when you give away. You only live after you die. Every single part of the tabernacle was important, and every single believer is placed sovereignly by God to be in a place of service. And you see, the local church provides an opportunity for fellowship. It provides an opportunity to contact one another. That's something that you can't get from a book. I'm so thankful. Over the years, people give me all kinds of books. I have a stack because I'm a slow reader. That's another thing about my wife. Not only does she sing all the time, she gets a book and she'll read it in 2 days. I'm like comic strip speed. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Honey, let's read the Bible together. Okay, where are you? I'm in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 1. Where are you? I'm in chapter 24. We both started at the same time. You can't get from a book or from a radio or from a television what we get from doing this or from a home study or from a prayer group. You can't get that from a TV. You can get blessed from it, but you can't get this. There has to be that contact. And it's only when we come together in the name of Jesus that, like the Levites, we find that nurturing. And why does God place churches where he places them? To be a witness to the community. He intends that we be visible. He intends that the world look at us and find out what we're all about. You see, guys, evangelism is not an option. It's a clear mandate of our Lord Jesus that's mentioned at the end of every gospel account. We're to be evangelical. We're not to be a social group that becomes an ingrown religious toenail. We're to be evangelical, looking out, reaching out. The Levites were placed to be witnesses to the unsaved nations around them. And we are to be a presence for Christ where we live, where we work, and right here in East Rochester. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. You see, but there's a level of discomfort when you start getting close to people in your community, in your neighborhood, or where you work, or whatever. Because the closer you get to people, they're going to either see the credibility of your witness and you being like Christ, or they're going to see that you're a hypocrite to the core, won't they? And that's why some people back off. Because you know what? The Lord uses the unsaved to be a barometer of where we're at. And we're not called to be self-righteous, holier-than-thou believers. We are to be like Christ. And these 48 cities, there will be places of safety, places of security. And we need to be sensitive, saints, when people come walking in that are new, to welcome them, to encourage them in the things of the Lord, to make them feel welcome. Or they're apt to walk away concluding, well, that's not a place where I can be loved or understood or accepted. And we all have to work at that. You know, we all gravitate towards the same people all the time, don't we? We just do. We're like sheep. Bah. Some of you sit in the same chairs and you gravitate towards the same people. And then strangers come walking in and we just kind of look at them. Oh, well, they're strange. No, they're strangers. They're probably looking at you and going, well, you're pretty strange too. And the cities of refuge, there were to be places where people felt welcome. Hey, welcome. How are you? Love bomb them in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? And then the last three verses, verses 43 through 45. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. How much did he give them? He gave them every bit of the land that he promised he would. And they possessed it, and they dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. And then verse 45. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Isn't that a precious verse? Let me read it again. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. You know, when I read that verse this week, preparing for the study, I began to look back over some of my old notes. And the older I get, the older that these notes get. You know that they're old when the pages are discolored. And when the ink is like bleeding through. And as I was looking over my old notes and notes in some of my old Bibles over the past 36, 37 years, you know what? I was so encouraged in the midst of our storms. I was so encouraged by one thing. That as I looked at all of those notes, no matter what the trial, no matter what the problem, no matter what the need, God has brought every single one of his promises to pass. And I look, 1977. Oh, this is a hot one. Uh-huh. It's done. 1980. 1982, the storms, the trials, the afflictions. Oh, this is it. This is going to be the kaboom to Koinonia Fellowship. I said, God, we're here. Yes, Raymond, because I made a promise that every work that I begin, I will finish. Just don't touch it and take my glory. Whew. And I look back. And no matter what the need, no matter what the situation, the things that so perplexed me and continue to perplex me, I was encouraged how God has been faithful to bring about every single one of his promises. And he'll do that for you. He doesn't leave you hanging. He doesn't leave you in that ravine. He is the bridge that leads to himself, the place of refuge. And my prayer is that the Spirit of God will keep us on our knees when we are dealing in our own lives with issues or problems. You see, I can either go to my knees or I can make knee-jerk reactions. And as I went back over my old journals and I looked, I've concluded this. Jesus is our refuge and strength. He is the promise keeper. He began a work. He will be faithful to complete it. Don't doubt for a moment. Don't give in. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on Christ, the rock, the refuge. Love him, serve him, adore him, worship him, praise him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.